Answer to me.
It's the Euro Trippers. Good evening, good evening, good evening. We're back. We're back indeed. It's the first of our European Euro 2016 specials. Or your 16 specials. We don't know why they've gotten rid of the... Why do you have to put the 2016 part in? Sure, we all know what year it is at this stage. And we're not going to confuse it with some previous Euro 16 tournament. Anyway, so we're back. So this is all Eurocentric. This is all a bit new. We haven't done anything like the same format as before. So it's just basically a wander through what we've seen over the last week in the tournament as such. Joining me tonight, I've got Steve O'Sideways and Private Eye from Twitter, of course. You'll all love them. They're never, ever just spending their time winding people up on there. And this, of course, is the first podcast brought to you in association with Munster Gadgets. We did get sponsorship, ladies and gentlemen. Woohoo! So listen, if you need any gadget needs, get on down to the boys at Munster Gadgets. Use the discount code we have. I think it's Euro2016. Neil will tweet it tomorrow. But yeah, get on there. They do all those Android boxes so you can get your television. And I know that a friend of the show, Molly there, he's definitely... We'll be able to sort this out with decent things and all that type of stuff with them. They are good quality gear, and of course you can see the movies and the sports and all that type of stuff on them. It's definitely worth a while. He's also doing wireless headphones and other bits and pieces, and that's why it's called Munster Gadgets. So Munster Gadgets, for all your televisual and musical and other gadgety needs, munstergadgets.com. That's it, Munster Gadgets sponsorship. Right, so where do we start with this? I don't know. Any ideas, lads?
Right, come on, what are we talking about? What are we even here for?
The Euros.
Liverpool are doing nothing. They're buying fucking Mane and Chilwell and fucking everyone's shy.
Same as when we finished up the last day.
So what's the point?
The point is, Andy, and thanks for asking me this question. Right, lads, it's the Euros.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
I've watched every single game.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's because Actually, I didn't.
I didn't watch the one today, whichever one that was.
Hungary against Austria.
Didn't watch that one, but I watched every other one.
Hungary against Austria. They used to be a country once. Just one country.
Which one?
Hungary.
Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yep.
There you go. History, motherfucker.
Did Hungary not win the World Cup or something?
Yeah, but it wasn't when they were Austria.
Was Puskas with them at that point?
No, I do.
Yeah.
There's knowledge.
Here's fucking football now.
So Hungary won the World Cup and Liverpool have never won the Premier League.
Yep.
That's a load of bollocks.
But come here.
FSG out.
If Puskas played for us, we'd win the league.
Who?
Puskas.
Even now?
Yeah.
In goal.
He was very good.
Yeah.
He was very good at the football.
Yeah.
Your man Kiri was in the goal today with his tracksuit bottoms on. That should be banned.
Paul was brilliant. He was having a fucking epo.
Epo, yeah.
About your man coming out like a fucking gibbo in his tracksuit bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
He made
bottoms.
A good point, though.
Yeah.
If you put the wrong colour tape with your socks,
yeah.
The referee sends you back in to change your tape.
Yeah.
You can wear a pair of random fucking tracksuit bottoms, not even tuck them into the socks or nothing. Not a bother. Basically, you can wear fucking...
There has to be a story behind that. You can't just wear them all the time.
There's lucky tracksuit bottoms. Genuinely, there's no story behind it. Just lucky tracksuit bottoms.
That's what people with learning disabilities wear. With stains on them on the bus, isn't it? What's he doing wearing them on a football pitch?
I don't know. It's terrible, it is. And he's like 106 or something as well. He's older than Trev. So, Andy, Euros, what's been your impression so far? Like, overall, for tournament football, like, everyone gets on board, has a bit of crack in the whole lot. Like, what's been your standout moments for you?
The Ireland fans.
Yeah. Both sides, the North and the South.
No.
Well, no, not really. Like,
just the South.
Now, I'm sure if you are
a Northern
and your mates were over there, you'd be getting videos back of a load of lads going, Northern! And shit like that. But all I'm seeing is deadly videos. And getting stories back, like, you know, and the videos of like 30 fans on the top of a pickup builder's truck and just heading off to the town like a parade. Like
that's just how they got
they're
there.
They're waving big shovels and buckets and all. And the piss fell in the passenger seat, like, and nobody knows what's going on.
Your man was so fucking calm, wasn't he, the driver of that pickup? But like, he was just like, it is what it is.
But it's funny how, like, he wasn't offended or he wasn't uncomfortable with the whole thing.
He didn't feel threatened or
anything. He was just like a loud smile and Paddy's laughing. Yeah. He knows that there's no bother here. These are going to just...
They'll sweep out the van when they're finished.
They'll see something else on the way. They'll see a bus or something.
They're like magpies. Oh, something else shiny. Yeah.
They'll be all the pickle one and they'll leave all the stuff there and they'll be doing something else in a minute. So he was happy enough. It's mad that we're so well known as nice people across the world.
Did you see your man on the balcony above the Irish bar last night?
That was an amazing crowd.
That was the funniest thing. Yeah, I don't know with the magpies. Yeah, it was just like, oh, look at the man in the magpie.
Oh, there's a person.
And then the fella, the black fella up on the shoulders, and they're all singing. Now, like, I don't know what maybe it's just Irish people can pull it off because we've been the victim of so much of that shit, like, over the years. Like, you know, no dogs, no Irish, all that shit. Like, my mate texted me, I was just texting about the video, and he said, no, you just would not believe it. Every time a black fella walks past, this shit starts. And they all just get to join in. There's no, like, I mean, you know, for a fact, anyone gets offended, the lads back off straight away. And
yeah, there
just
is that.
You know, there's no offence, there's no mean, there's no malice. Like, people up on a high horse, and there'd be a PC brigade out there that would say it's totally wrong and all that. These lads are just having fun. You know what I mean? What's wrong with it?
And they're not trying to harm anyone or offend anyone.
Like, that fella up on his balcony probably lives there, and he's never experienced that like that in his life. You can't even come out to his balcony.
He's got another week. Well, they're all gone from there now. But
On the train.
The nun on the train. Not singing Our Father. Yeah.
Most of our listeners who aren't Irish, because most Irish people can't tolerate this podcast. But like, that Our Father, like, you know, to us growing up in school, everyone can identify with that song.
That song,
Like, we used to sing it at the religion teacher for the crack, just to take the piss and all, you know, and for the lads, you can just picture, I'd say she was just going
in. It was just spur of the moment as well, wasn't it?
I'd say she went into the Jacks.
Oh, do you reckon?
When she comes out, we sing Our Father. As you can tell, the camera was ready. You just heard the door of the Jacks close, the next thing. One, two, three. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
And the other men are trying to get her to dance. Come on, this is your dad's song. Yeah. Come on, sing along.
She was having none of it, huh?
No, she was lost. She didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I didn't get her. She had none of it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's
Joe.ie told that joke 5 hours ago, mate.
I don't want to have them blocked.
Did you see a man doing the striptease on top of the van?
Yeah, yeah. Full Mickey out everything. No, I can't. It's going to be fucking... I'm going next week now, and I just can't wait to fucking... be in it, you know what I mean? Like, so you just go cracking.
Yeah. That's amazing.
There's just some amount of fans over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge numbers, isn't there?
It's crazy.
You know, I was actually surprised by what an even balance there was in the stadium last night. Because the Swedes are big, they're big supporters as well, in fairness to them.
And they stood out, they all wear yellow.
Yeah.
You know,
we're wearing the same colours as the seats.
Yeah. Yeah. But
lads only brought one change of clothes, so by the weekend it'll all be brown.
we're not colourful. The one colour, like,
yeah, no,
they're all
yellow, and it does stand out. Yeah,
we bought camouflage basically,
blends in. Yeah. But I seen a question, an interesting question raised on one of the sites there. Would you rather Ireland win the Euros or Liverpool win the league?
Yeah.
Now, like, you kind of feel like a traitor even considering this question, but the best answer I could come up with is it's a totally different thing altogether.
Mm.
They're two totally different propositions. You know, like, what Ireland, like, I couldn't imagine myself being a bigger Liverpool fan. I couldn't support Liverpool any more than I do. Whereas I'm not a huge Ireland fan, except when it comes to the tournaments, and then I'm all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But what Ireland winning the Euros or doing well in the Euros would do for this nation, would do for the people and the lift and the crack and everyone together united, like, it'd be amazing.
Mm.
Whereas Liverpool, winning the league, like you're a bit removed from it because you're over here, unless you're over in the ground. So it's a totally different thing. It's like saying, would you rather Liverpool win the league or win a share in a lotto or something?
Yeah.
They're two totally different things. Like you're not, they're not on the same.
I'd still prefer Liverpool to win the league.
I think Ireland, to be honest with you, winning the Euros. Yeah, I just think it's just what you would get out of it personally.
It's the mayhem that would ensue, like, in this country.
Yeah, there is that. But for me personally, if Ireland lose a match, I don't get as pissed off as when.
Yeah, nor do I.
Maybe, like, that's because we have a lower expectation of Ireland.
But
that's
your support for the two different things is totally different. Like I say, it's not even in the same.
It's how you love your man, love your girlfriend.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, man. That's actually it.
Thanks, mate.
You know, whereas Liverpool, it's all about the money. You have to look after your missus. You have to bring her out.
Your man just loves romanticize. You.
Your man just loves you anyway.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want, your man will still go with
And your man will always be there.
It is a bit like that.
Yeah.
So, what would you prefer? Your ma to
die
win
or your
something
girlfriend.
Or your girlfriend to...
Oh, sorry.
I just think the whole Ireland winning the Euros, like, this country would just stop.
It would.
Yeah, and I mean, even the most.
Like, even for the match yesterday, like, we were told, like, go home at 4 o'clock to make sure
exactly
kick off.
Even if there was, even if it, like, it was a sale deadline and the company had to, they just say, fuck it, this month is all right.
Just forget about it.
We'll worry about it next month.
The match is on.
And they crack the whip next month. But for now, everyone's off work.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it would.
Don't
it
even
would.
Bother doing a 9-9-9 Saturday afternoon.
No, but the game is on.
Yeah. I was going to Bray yesterday to watch the match, you know, and just pulled in. There's paying display everywhere, you know. And I fucking pulled into the, down at the seafront, you know, and I pulled in there and outside the pub, and the fucking parking machine's Moswell, and it was pissing down. I walked down, parking machine wasn't fucking working. Went the whole other end to find the other parking machine. Went down, put money in it. Everything came in. Game was just about to kick off. And that's like, where the fuck are you? I said, I had to put money in the car. And they went, why? There's only one fucking parking warden and he's over there having a pint. He was sitting there drinking.
If the old machine near their car isn't working, you don't have to pay.
Yeah, you do.
You don't.
It's your responsibility.
No, you do. That's changed. That law changed.
Just write a note saying, Andy says it's grand.
Your machine wasn't working. Well,
basically, he was sitting there watching the match anyways.
I know it's working, but the one just there isn't. So,
sorry, I'm not.
But, like, if anyone, you know, would go on to YouTube and search Ireland, was it the 1990 Walkinstown roundabout?
At the Kestrel.
Like, I remember that, and I'd lived in Minna from there, and up the road there, so another pub called the Traders, there was people climbing on buses, and buses just driving, and like the police, the guards, as we know them here, were in the pubs drinking.
Just did,
you know,
the country just shut down.
That's the effect
and
that
it
has.
It was kind of like
Connell Street.
It was basically one step away from there being a public service announcement to say, robbers, don't do anything for a few hours. We're all
pushing
going out for the match.
Robbers are watching the games.
I know, but
that's
my point. Like, it was just like, everybody just fucking relax and watch the match. We'll get back to normal life afterwards.
We just got to the quarterfinals.
Yeah. And as Paul, I think it was Paul Brennan was in a pub watching the match yesterday. I watched it at home. I just wanted to watch it at home. Just had to be able to concentrate in the game and everything else and take it in a bit more. He said the noise, like...
In the pub.
Yeah.
Well, how do you describe it again? I thought it was brilliant. It was like just...
I don't know.
It was just a noise.
Yeah, it was just a constant
Everybody
noise.
Was just making noise and you couldn't pick out any, you know,
noise.
Made like a some sort of a film analogy, but it's perfect. You know, just people go off on them.
Yeah.
And you don't, like I say, I'm not the biggest Ireland fan. I don't go to the friendlies. I go to the odd big match in the Aviva. For a while, I went to a lot of games and I don't go to the away games and stuff like that. Like the way I would try and support Liverpool to me best, I don't. But when it comes to this is just
tournaments are enjoyable. They are. And you know, you can say, I don't care if Ireland qualify or they do qualify or whatever. When we do qualify for a tournament, there's a great buzz around the place. I was home in my own family home tonight, like, and the roads got all the buntings out. People have all their flags out. You know, they have it's old school. It's an old school neighbourhood.
But you live in one of those poor areas. People do that. Up my ma's way, like, there wouldn't be much of that.
they can't afford for you live in Green Hills, mate.
He's
from Green Hills.
Look at him snapping.
Like Steve-O's like something from The Commitments.
Yeah.
What was the quote again?
It was the Irish are the blacks of Europe, the Dubliners are the blacks of Ireland, and the Northsiders are the blacks of Dublin.
When Aran Aveen came on the telly, I just lashed up the volume to the top, and then
did you stand up and sing it?
I stood up and I was singing at the top of my voice.
You're a dickhead.
And then when at the end, like, I pulled open the door and I went, "Come on, Aran!"
That's because you're living in the poor area now, is it?
Nobody about now. I live now. You know where I live. It's a lovely, lovely settled development.
Traveller site.
We're all settled, though. We're in off the road.
We're all settled.
We're in our harm's way.
Yeah. But it's deadly. It's deadly.
But like the one thing I always notice about this country when there's a tournament on and we're involved in it is like, unlike most countries where it's just like, it's another tournament and then there's expectations again. With this, like, we always just seem to go mental for the stuff. It's like, even I had the kids last night and they were coming down and we were singing the songs in the car coming down, right? So, like, because they've been at it all day in school.
And it's like
that's something that normally countries only really experience when they go to the tournament the first time.
Yeah.
Whereas, even though we've been at like the last World Cup and whatever it is, it's just like, this is great crack again. Do you remember when we do all this, same stuff again? It's like the novelty is never lost.
Yeah, a month ago, I got some pictures sent to me. Like, it was like a photo of photos from when we were in school, and it was a day when the school had Niall Quinn in. And I mean, like, that was terrible things going on in schools. Like, I don't know whether that happens in every country around the world, but the kids just went mad for it. Like, especially the schools, like, just getting all the kids again, wearing all the gear and all. An Irish player coming in like that. I mean,
it was immense when something like that happened. Yeah. It was just like your mind was blown by it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the beauty of a small country.
Still happens. I'd say that still happens when the likes of Wayne Rooney or fucking.
Yeah, but you're talking about Wayne Rooney going into like a local school in Liverpool or whatever. Like,
no, I'm even talking about England captain going to fucking Leeds. Yeah.
But we could have, like, I guarantee you, every school around the country had an Irish player go into them around
probably.
That time.
Yeah, I know what
you're
saying.
It's possible.
I know,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You look at when Dublin win the Sam Maguire, like, you know, they're in every Northside school. Like,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I know, you're right, Andy, you're right. But that's the beauty of, and I think it's why we sort of embrace tournament football when we get there, because it's just like, it's this amazing event. And the hope is that we can replicate what, say, Italia 90 was, or even Euro 88 was, even though we didn't get out of it. It was just...
I think it's because we know we're not fucking
great
going anywhere in it. You know what I mean? Like, so everybody goes, if we get to the last 16, that's a great achievement. But... let's just go and have the fucking crack. Yeah. And it's loads of fellas getting away from their missus for a fucking few days. You know what I mean? There is still that old school Irish fan, the old lad. The old lad was around for Italia 90.
And
is still going on these trips. And the trick is him and his mates, they might be in their 60s now. Yeah. But it is that big, we're going away as a group. We save up, we go away, we have the crack, we have the pints. And that does filter down to the younger people. When you see our lads acting like that and having the fucking crack, your natural reaction is to do it as well and say that's the way it should be done. Whereas, let's take English fans, for example. Those our lads that are 60 still probably fucking chairs around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like then, you know what I mean? It's, okay, you can't tar them all with the same brush. But as I was saying yesterday, you know, we have to come on to that because we're talking about the Euros and the fucking stuff that's gone on between the Russians and the English fans is just mental. You know what I mean? Like, and
it seems like the narrative on Twitter, like, or any social media, is to try and get to the bottom of who is the bigger to blame.
Yeah. Everybody taking responsibility.
Like, the English fans are to blame.
Yeah.
The Russians are to blame. Whatever ultras, French lads going
they're
around, just look,
well.
They're to blame as well.
Yeah, everyone's to blame.
Don't try and tell me that the English aren't doing this when you see pictures and videos of them posturing with their tops off and their arms
in the
air.
Before the Russians arrived,
they were doing it. And
there was trouble going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
A whole night of it.
And then when the Russians came in and bashed them, then the Russians looked worse because they were more violent than what was going on.
They were organised.
They were organised. And look, they went after the
normal fans.
Lots of families and stuff over there.
But it's not right what they're doing. Either set of
no. You know what? I was saying this to somebody the other day as well. that is not to say that every Ireland fan gone away is an angel. No. Far from it. There's loads of absolute fucking knackers gone away.
Do you know what happens to the biggest scumbags that go away?
They get put in their place.
They get drunk and they turn nice for a week.
It's not even that, Andy. You know what it is?
I know what he's saying by that,
but you know what it is? If anybody decided, I'm going to act Billy Big Bollocks here, they'd get a fucking slap and told to cop on by their own mates.
Their own group of people.
And if not that group of people, there's a collective responsibility for England fans. Yeah. There are far, far more decent, good people gone away with England than there are arseholes. The problem is, those decent, good people have never learned to step in and tell the others to cop the fuck on.
It's the turning of their back on what's going on.
They turn their back on it and they want to get away from it. So their whole image is portrayed by the arseholes, whereas the whole friendly image of the Irish is portrayed. Because yes, there are the same level of arseholes in our group of people.
But they get put in their box
and told, don't fucking even start that shit. So it never even gets beyond a simmer. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there's aggro and there's arguments and stuff like that. But it's all dealt with very early on, and therefore it never becomes...
Do you know what it's like supporting English football, like even supporting Liverpool, like, and you've got to an away game in Europe or whatever, there is that undercurrent of aggression.
It always feels like it could kick off at any minute. Yeah, and there's a reason for that as well, is because the opposition fans are expecting hooligans. They're waiting for this group of English hooligans to come. Even if the group that are going, and I guarantee you,
it's going for years where there hasn't been major stuff going on.
Unfortunately, it's something that England will either never get rid of, or it will take them so fucking long.
But it's taken them so long to get
rid of. Was it their last tournament that actually didn't, there wasn't much hassle in Germany?
No, there wasn't.
You know what I mean? And then they go away here and there is, you know what I mean?
But so this, the same time when the last World Cup was on in Marseille, there was trouble down in Marseille as well.
Yeah, but you can't blame policing on its own.
No, but it's not policing
because look at the amount of, there's 24 nations in it, yet two nations are causing trouble.
Well, like again today, like the Russians got.
Policing's not an excuse. It is preventive action, and maybe the tournament organizers should have planned for this a bit.
But my point is, how can the Hungarian fans all be on the piss today, and the Austrians, two countries that were separated.
There was little or no segregation in the Ireland and Sweden game. You know, outside the ground and inside the ground.
Zero outside the ground. They're all just fucking.
You go to Croke Park on all on the final day. Each county
massive
are sitting
rivalry,
together.
80,000 yeah. people, and they're sitting beside each other.
There's never trouble, and there's policing, but there's very little.
There's no policing in fucking riot gear.
There's just guards in their fucking uniforms.
They're going about your business.
Here's a pack of potatoes.
Did you see that video? There was some fucking local junior guy match, and some fella scores a point, and the guard who was up in the crowd. He's full gone on duty, jumping around, celebrating like a lunatic.
Now, of all the people saying, oh, there should be stewards there, they were invisible. I was at the game, whinge. There was no stewards, there was no police, blah, blah, blah. How about the English FA start clamping down on hooligans? They start identifying who the bogeys are, and they make sure they don't travel. And they send their police over onto the borders, into the airports, and they make sure that
there is police in there because the PSNI fellow.
I would say there is. I'd say all police forces have sent away a few, but it's very hard to stop somebody traveling to France from England. It is. You know what I mean? You can be on whatever watch list you want. We know how easy it is to get onto ferries without. You know, we've brought coaches across. To England.
They're only slipping across on a train as well.
You know what I mean? Like, so if they want to get over there, they'll get over there. Eurostar. But if you want to stop it, they might be letting them into the ground. These fucking jippos, to be fair to the English, they didn't seem to cause any trouble really in the ground.
No, there's been, you know what I mean?
That's why the FA haven't been brought up on it. You know what I mean? So you can't really knock the people that have bought tickets and gone to the game. The arseholes that are there for the party and to cause rows are going to do that regardless. I think it's easy for us as Irish people to knock the English.
I suppose the big concern is the Russians seem to think that this is great crack.
The Russian politicians and shit. The officials.
Like they seem to think that this is just this is grass. You go to a football match for a fight, like.
Yeah. I'm sure the fucking players are nearly coming out there calling the English crybabies.
Yeah, you know, and they're, I mean? they're living in a world that's 50 years ago.
Yeah,
the Russians.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
they still do. Like a lot of them. You know what I mean?
That's but the next World Cup is there. That's the madness. Like
that is the
how
madness.
How can you attract people?
Because it's corrupt.
Russia is very like America in a lot of ways. There's nothing happening outside Russia. If you're Russian, you're in there, Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're American, you're in there. You don't know what the fuck is going on around the world.
Yeah.
Whereas I suppose like. We get exposed to all sorts of media from all corners of the world watching TV. I don't think you have that in Russia. They're in their own little zone there.
You have it in certain parts of Russia, but you can be guaranteed. It's like saying, okay, in New York, yes, their level of understanding of fucking what's going on around the world would be far different than some rural little town that they just are able to be fed propaganda. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think we are lucky that, well, we are and we aren't. We probably have that ourselves in terms of parish pump shite. You know, the arsehole of Ireland.
Look, in Russia, you know, if there's any hassle with foreign nationals coming in, like, you know, they just stick the boot in straight away and they just say, get the fuck, you know, your culture, ask me bollocks. Whereas, like, I think in the UK, they're a lot more advanced in terms of integrating and recognising people's beliefs and cultures.
Yeah, they're far more right-wing in Russia.
Yeah,
you know.
Whereas in Russia, it's just boom.
But like, the quotes are unbelievable.
Oh, they're nuts. Absolutely. If they are genuine, you know what I mean? Yeah. Which they probably are, you know.
But there's just so many of them. It's like, there's bound to be a few true ones in there. Yeah. Any one of the true ones.
Any of them. If even one of them is true, then it's fucking nuts.
It's nuts. But come here.
Let's talk about some
nearly
football.
Everyone's playing now. Do you think there's any standout players?
What?
Nearly everybody has played. Do you think Euros, every World
Modric
Cup,
was excellent.
You'll have a player who's valuable goals from maybe 800,000 to 40-50 million.
We had it with
James Rodriguez, didn't we? In a way, like, you know.
No, I just said about eight times because my brain wouldn't do anything else.
But like, for you, Steve, has anyone stood out?
No one that you didn't know was already a very good player. Mm. You know what I mean? But I think you'll need the three games. I think you'll need the group to finish to really see that.
Oh yeah, there's gonna be a group.
They've all been nervy close enough games. There hasn't been a game won by more than two goals.
There's no
time for
now.
So that was the big thing, wasn't it? Everybody's saying the Euros are gonna be shite. You know, having 24 teams there instead of 16, they're all going to be crap and it's going to be a load of bollocks. Well, actually, you know what? No one's so far come out and absolutely smashed somebody. Mm. So that's good to see. I thought Modric was very good in the Croatia game. I thought Jeff Hendrick was brilliant for Ireland, and I'm being biased, but Jesus Christ, he was everywhere yesterday.
Hendrick was quality for Ireland. Joe Allen was quality for Wales.
Yeah. Mm. Who else? No one really stood out.
Skirtle was excellent for Slovakia.
He was being Skirtle, wasn't he?
Deja vu, like, I mean.
He was like just looking at it thinking, thank God, I'm not supporting this team today.
Mad, like, the match of the day fam will see Skirtle and think, oh, there's a hardy defender for Liverpool, like, he takes no nonsense and all.
Yeah.
Stick him on the world stage where everyone's watching and everyone goes, oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now we know
he actually is shy. I'm trying to think who else.
That elbow thing, what the fuck was it? Like,
he's a,
do you know, Slovakia's chances going through would have increased had he been sent off or retrospectively banned.
So would ours against
one of the greatest things is goal line technology is working. That seemed to be impressive.
Yeah,
that, like, there was a couple of times they've used it.
Yeah,
the Boateng clearance
is the one that sticks in the memory. Germany were efficient, Italy were excellent last night. They really were, like, you know, Belgium are overrated. They are an overrated side. They have a lot of good individuals but
I think they're badly managed.
No, they're not established enough as a group of good players yet.
Yeah.
You know, their players are all over that were playing for some quality teams and, you know, playing very good football each, but they're not an established nation of a good team.
Like you say, like, when you look at who the top four or six teams are in the world, are any other players playing for those teams? I was just thinking about this. Like, you look at their back four last night, some fella playing for fucking Montreal Impact at right back. Then you've got two Spurs players and an Arsenal reject that can't get a game. Montreal Impact, I think they are, yeah. Montreal, should I say. They've got Courtois on goal.
Quality goalkeeper.
Yeah, but he's playing for Chelsea,
who
finished fucking 12th in the league. You've got two Spurs defenders who fucking fell apart. An Arsenal reject who can't get a game for Barcelona. Yeah. You've got Witzel playing in Russia. You've got fucking your man... Nagalogalogalion, playing for Roma. You know, okay, recent Fellaini, who's an absolute bag of shit, playing for Man United.
I don't get Fellaini. I don't know how Lukaku, he's in that team.
Lukaku just... playing for fucking Everton. De Bruyne and
De Bruyne
was terrible, but playing for City yet again, a team that finished fucking fourth in the league, and Hazard who scored two goals in the league this season. So for all the hype of an amazing side that they are, they don't have players getting bought by Juventus, by fucking Barca, Real. They don't. They haven't got those players. Maybe Hazard, when he was at his peak, was at that level. But
do you think that, like, looking at the Germany team, like we're talking about impressive performances, Germany seem to have that. Seem to have developed the Flaunder game where they torn off in matches.
Yeah, maybe that comes from Lowe being the manager for so long.
Yeah,
maybe it's just this group of players aren't as good. I still cannot believe that there's not an Oliver Bierhoff 30 goal a season striker in that squad.
Lowe has tended to pick his teams as opposed to what form is like a club. He's sort of got his group.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's picking his team regardless
based on
of
them.
This is how the odd
person snuck in, like Leroy Sané or whatever. But
like that's how Mario Gomez is still in the squad. Like.
Is he still in the squad? Yeah.
He was on the bench, but his because he doesn't have a real recognised centre forward playing at the moment.
Yeah, he's now taking the fucking role. They used to show up every fucking tournament, score 5 goals and disappear for 2 years. Before him.
They're still going to win the Euros, but
they probably they have a great chance.
But they can be got it.
Them France and Italy still look like the three teams that are just, you know, France just have that home advantage, and at every single tournament, I can't remember a tournament where home advantage wasn't massive.
But the thing about France is that game could have been dead and buried. Like they hit the post, the inside of the bar.
Who, France?
Yeah.
People are talking about it being close with Romania, but
yeah, but like it could have been.
It could have been 4-0, and everybody going, these are just going to win it.
That's how
Ireland scored 2 goals yesterday, and all of a sudden we're joint top. We need a draw in one of our last 2 games, and we're through. You know, football's always, you know, it's a game of inches.
Yeah, I don't feel like Ireland are over either. There's
a good chance
there's only 8 teams going home and 7 or 8 teams have lost a game already.
Yeah.
What do you think of any of the dark horses bar Belgium?
Well, Belgium weren't a dark horse. They were second in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
In real terms. Like
Croatia.
Croatia. Yeah. Croatia looked decent. It is too hard to say because this is what we always do as football fans. We fucking jump on...
What do you think of England?
I was impressed with them, I have to say.
I
thought they were impressive for 60 minutes and then they were shy.
They did what Hodgson
But you know what, like if they had, what they have there, right, is a new fresh team, young players, all hungry. They're not all, like the old guard is basically gone, like it's one of the first tournaments without the likes of Terry, Lampard, Gerrard, all, you know. You've Rooney there, who I thought played well in midfield. Actually, I thought he played reasonably well. But then you've got Hodgson, who's just stale.
Yeah.
But in fairness, he played a very attacking team and they went down. And I thought they were pretty good.
They deserved the win.
That's what made it funny about the equalizer.
It's funny, actually, the amount of people that laugh. I always support England in these tournaments, so I always want them to do well. Like, if Ireland aren't going to win,
I can't even describe it. Like, I'm looking at them.
You sort of support them, but your natural reaction is still to laugh at them when something bad happens.
It's weird, like, you know. It's like...
You really want them to do well, and then when it goes tits up...
My thing is, I always want them to get to the quarterfinals.
No, I don't like.
I always want to get to the quarterfinals, and then I want them to go out with the quarterfinals so I can enjoy the rest of the tournament. I don't want the fear of them actually winning the tournament.
No, I want them to win something. I'd love them to win something so you can just shut the fuck up about 1966. No. You know, but anyway, what was I going to say there? Oh yeah, in terms of the England side, like there's probably just a couple of tweaks. Like I think Hodgson left it so late to make any changes.
Mm.
You know, there was a couple of things. Sterling was so fucking bad. Harry Kane didn't really get into the game.
Yeah, there's a kind of a corner Liverpool fans who were sort of early on said, "Oh, Sterling's so good." And what's going on? Yeah,
he was abysmal all game long. Like
I thought, like if anyone was going to have that mic alone against the Argies moment, it was going to be Dele Alli.
I know what you mean by that. Just introducing himself to the world stage.
Yeah,
no, I'd still like to see them do well. I think Hodgson is a fossil and there's not much they can do about that.
What about Wales?
Yeah, they stole a lot of hearts, didn't they?
Mm.
No, I actually wasn't impressed by them at all.
Oh, but they were a bit Ireland, like, you know.
Yeah, that's I think I said in the WhatsApp group, they're Ireland with Gareth Bale. Yeah. That's all they are. Like, there's no one.
And even at that, like,
I'm looking at that. Well, so Aaron Ramsey was shit. He was fucking abysmal. He was falling over like James Milner. Every time I looked at him, he was either on his arse or miscontrolling the ball 5 yards from himself. He was fucking brutal. And okay, Joe Allen had a decent game, but I was looking at the Welsh team going, not fucking sure I'd want many of these over what we have in our Ireland squad.
I'd like to be looking at the next round of games and still seeing Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, and England. And I don't think it's
yeah, but
happen.
I'd love to see. I actually want to see England beat Wales. Like, I want to see that. I was sorry. There was somebody posted something on Facebook or Twitter the other day, and it was the starting lineup from one of the games in Euro '96 of England.
Yeah,
and I was just looking at that team and the quality and fucking experience that was in it. The likes of Seaman and Goal and Stuart Pearce and Alan Shearer up front and fucking
Sheringham
and I think Anderson, it was Ince and McManaman and
Batty
was it in the middle of the park. Like, and I was just looking at it going, you would have to fancy that team to win this tournament.
But you look back at all England teams across
they were very unlucky with that one.
Yeah, but look at all the teams they had over the years, like you know, Ngazi in that one and he scored against like now they just have a lot of players where other nations would be looking at them thinking, Who is that?
Who's your
man? Yeah, they were world names in their sides.
But they have a real opportunity now to step up. You know, and they're not as recognised and teams won't know how to wind them up.
Euro 96 is probably the only time I ever remember looking at them and thinking, this is a side that can really win it. And they went out to, Bierhoff was playing for Germany at the time, I think. They went out on penalties.
Mm.
And they were unfortunate to go out on penalties. It wasn't one of their ones where they got to a penalty shootout and were lucky to get that far.
You know
what I mean? Like, they could have won it that year. And I don't think there's been a tournament since where they looked like they could win it.
One of the biggest talking moments, obviously, the first round of the games is Lowe's penchant for sniffing his crotch.
The old arse. Scratch and sniff. No, he was right into his balls there. That wasn't his arse.
That was mad.
No, in training the next day, he did it.
Oh, did he?
He had a little sniffity bum.
Oh, sniffity bum bum.
Yeah. He was there fixing shorts and he had the hand around and came out.
Podolski said he didn't think there was anything much in it, I think. He came out and said, I don't think this is a big story. Probably not in the greater scheme of things, but it's still fucking funny. Stop scratching your balls and sniffing them live on TV.
If it wasn't
TV.
Bad enough, he had a big Camachos, as we and the lads call them, because Camacho had the sweat patches underneath the air. Yeah. He had them going on, and then down his jocks.
You can imagine if his arms are that sweaty, then his balls are dripping.
Like, imagine being so, not conscious of this being picked up on camera.
Yeah.
Like, you have players now who generally speak on the pitch with their
hands over their mouth. Yeah.
This fella, like, is putting
scratching
his
balls off,
sat in the bed and having a wank. Like, oh, nobody will see me.
It's grand. I have a jacket over me lap.
Nobody will see this.
Like, he was out on the. He wasn't even sitting in the dugout having a little room. He was standing up in the fucking technical area, pulling the balls off himself.
There's only 50 cameras in here.
What a mental cunt. Harry just doesn't give a bollocks. He does strike you as the sort of fella that doesn't give a fuck about anything.
That's disgusting.
It is. Especially when you're caught.
Disgusting.
Who hasn't had an old scratch and sniff, though, fair? Anyone else funny on the sidelines? Take care. Like, well, the start of the hair, some of the hair is fucking ridiculous. Like, Origi needs to dump what he's done with his head.
He's just got pulled in. He's a young lad. He's been dragged in by that Fellaini.
Jesus, He kind of changed the game when he came on, but then had a few stinking misses.
The header he missed.
I did tweet, said if he doesn't get rid of the hair, though, he is going to fully morph into Cissé, because with the hair and the misses, it was very
Cissé. Well, I tell you what, the difference, and it was what happened a few times this season with Sturridge coming off and him going on, the difference in his ability and willingness to burst beyond that back four really did rattle the Italians. Mm-hmm. You wonder if he'd come on at half time for Lukaku, could they have got back into it?
Because he causes us real trouble.
Yeah, and it's not just that. He creates, because he's willing to push that bit more, he creates a lot of space, especially with Belgium having the likes of Hazard and De Bruyne behind that. He's exactly the sort of forward you want. Yeah. You know what I mean? To get that fucking back four or back three back an extra 5 yards for us. Just give us, it's that space to get a shot off. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I tell you what, you give, if we give De Bruyne and Hazard room on Saturday, we're going to be fucked.
Candreva was very good for the Italians, wasn't he, on the right hand side?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Mm. He was excellent.
Even Jack O'Reilly, like, given that he's been to Sunderland.
Sunderland reject.
Yeah.
Who was he on loan with this season? He left Sunderland, didn't he? I'm not sure. He went off on loan somewhere.
He was back in Italy, was he?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
Was he Conte had known well because he would have had him at Juve. So,
yeah, but there was talk. I remember when Conte was taken over at Chelsea a few months ago when they were talking about it ever before it happened, and them saying that he was going to go for him.
Mm.
You know, and
he's probably one of those players that he trusts. And
yeah, Jack and managers do have them. It's, you know, Klopp has them, Rodgers had them. Benitez, whoever.
Pele was spectacular looking like
he's Ronaldo.
Handsome bastard.
Oh, he was full. Like, I had the serious man crush on him. The hair never moved out of place. And not it was like the tan fucking, was just
the
spectacular.
Tan was spectacular. That's my dream tan.
Yeah, it was outrageous. It was just the right side of mahogany.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That it's still a tan and it isn't. You know, what's the story?
It just
man?
Looked deadly.
Do you know? You're not into
fair enough, yeah.
Who did you fancy?
Well, why didn't Emery come on?
Yeah.
Did you see the uproar from Turkish television over the
fixing his hair?
Yeah,
he runs. Did you see that?
Who?
Yeah, one of the Turkish players.
He's meant to be coming out.
He's meant to be coming out to close down Modric, and as the ball's coming out, he's there going.
Fixing his hair.
Prince Charming giving the hair a flick to make sure he's all right. And Modric just stitched it into the goal from fucking 35 yards.
It makes you hate football, doesn't it? Like that sort of shit.
Huh?
It makes you just hate football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coverage on television.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you can.
Who have you been watching?
Bit of everything, to be honest with you. I've been watching a bit of BBC, a bit of RTE.
Can't beat the RTE2 panel.
That's great.
TV3 is terrible. I thought it was Kenny Cunningham on co-commentator. Everyone keeps saying
it's Keith Andrews.
Keith Andrews, sorry.
He's brilliant, he is.
Yeah.
When he had that electric shock.
Was he the one that had the stroke?
About Sterling. It was
just throw yourself or something at it. Yeah.
Madness.
What are you doing?
The BBC stuff is good, actually. I've enjoyed it. They've a decent... Who they got last night was Vialli. Was it Vialli? Vialli.
I miss Souness on the RTE panel. I know he's on the TV3 one.
Mm.
Neil Lennon hasn't been too bad, to be honest.
Yeah, but Souness hasn't been on RTE donkeys.
I know he used to be great for the tournaments.
Yeah.
When you had Dunphy, Giles, and Souness, it was actually a really good blend.
Yeah,
He was out to let loose. I don't think he has that license on TV3 either.
No, probably not. You know, but.
And the North, as we said, the lads, they did it themselves all right, didn't they? Not much.
No, they're shite. You know.
I wanted to see them do well. I like your man Michael O'Neill. I think he's been a very good
I don't mind him, but I nothing them.
You're nothing them, yeah.
Yeah, like I don't care.
They were meant to be your team.
Yeah, that's why I told you to fuck off. Nothing to do with not wanting to. Just, I they're shite. You know what I mean? Like, Ireland are shite, but I'm from Ireland, so I care about it.
If I'm not sure he wears Hulana's quality. He gets game for Brazil.
The Irish Messi.
Wes Hulinho.
Yeah.
Poland play them again. They beat them 2-3-0. A plucky Irish performance. But no,
a lot of talk about this Milik fella who was playing for Poland.
Yeah, no, I'd heard a bit about him beforehand because I've been betting on Ajax actually quite a lot. Just the early Sunday games, so you were throwing them in.
He wants to play for Klopp.
Does he?
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah, he
the
said
Klopp
it,
factor.
Yeah.
He wants to come and play for
Klopp.
But I've seen him because sometimes I'd watch the odd Ajax match if I had money on it or stuff like that. And he is a decent player.
Zielinski or whatever his name come on?
Zielinski? No, he didn't get on. No. He was too busy wearing his Liverpool jersey.
He was practicing fucking free Scouse. Kicks with his...
Is he signing for Liverpool? What's the story?
Well, he's told his club that he only wants to go and play for Klopp.
It's crazy.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to know what's going on, really.
How's this going?
I'd say, like,
look at him. Oh, wait a minute. Look at the energy from the three of us. Like, it's terrible.
I think this has been a great podcast.
You're like this.
It's a bit different.
Yeah, so.
But come here, any defenders?
The fucking three lads for Italy last night.
My God. The goalkeepers haven't been great.
Yeah, but between the three lads and.
Buffon.
I think they're 150 or something.
But it's brilliant. Like, well, Bonucci isn't that old, is he?
No, but they're still
late 20s.
So the average age of that Italian team is 31 last night. So it's definitely
200 caps or 200 and something caps between the four of them.
Yeah,
maybe more. Maybe it was.
I still like him on Fabian Schär.
Buffon must have 200.
Well, he went for free, didn't he? From he was. Who did he go to?
Didn't he go to?
It was Germany. Yeah, it was into Germany. Yeah, he went for free.
Yeah, I do like him.
Was it the last? Were we talking about him after the last tournament, or was it actually?
Yeah, after the last
or
tournament.
Was it? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was when Liverpool played Bale the year before in the Champions League.
Yeah, but then the last tournament he was playing the World.
Was he? Okay. No, we were talking about him then.
Well, in terms of goalkeepers, some of the goals have been fucking terrible.
Yeah, there's been some horrendous goalkeeping.
Yeah.
But the one for Bale's free kick, that was horrendous.
Sure, even Akinfeev, he pulls off an absolute worldie of a save from Rooney 2 minutes beforehand, and then that free kick. It wasn't he should have saved it. He steps in behind the wall.
It wasn't a David Beckham free kick that you're just going, no one's getting to that. It's a fair play. But I thought Randolph had a good game. Yeah. He was just, Kieran Clark was doing his
fault for the goal.
Or was he?
Yeah, when they showed it from the front angle.
Do you think he should have went
standing
out
the goal?
When he was standing in front of the front post, right? And Clark is heading the ball on the inside of the post.
Mm.
And where the ball is, it's about 3.5 yards. Randolph could have, he wouldn't have clashed with Clark, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but my only thinking on that was,
and the ball was coming from the boy line back. It wasn't coming like it was coming into the box.
Yeah, but I think as a goalkeeper, when anybody else, I think anybody else on the ball for Sweden, I think he might have made that. I think his worry was by coming away from his near post that Ibrahimovic stitches it in at the near post somehow. Because
he was standing outside his goal nearly. It looked like from the camera angle from
I haven't down looked the back pitch, on it.
It looked like he was standing the wrong
I
side of the post.
I think you could tell from his reaction. You know when you see a goalkeeper's reaction that he was the first thing goes, I should have come for that.
To be fair, Kieran Clark had more shots on the Irish goal than Ibrahimovic did yesterday. He was determined to score a fucking goal.
Yeah.
He had three fucking attempts at an OG and he finally managed on his third attempt. Fair play to him, he was persistent.
I'm not hammering him, just like if you look at it you could say had he just come for that one there it probably would have cleared it away.
Oh no, listen, you know what, we're looking at it yesterday and we had some great chances, but they peppered our goal for a little while, especially straight after the goal.
The five minutes
are just fucking corners. It was like a training exercise. So whip in another one there.
It was mayhem and the Ireland team couldn't cope with
They were all over the shop. It's not like it was corner after corner and we looked disciplined. It was just panic stations.
It was like Liverpool under Rodgers in the last few minutes. Like anything that came into the box, you were worried about this is going to be a goal.
And then Hendrick went up the other end. And I know the ball wouldn't come down for him, but you nearly felt he should have done better with that.
You made the keeper walk though.
Yeah. I missed the Dutch at these tournaments. It's not the same not seeing a big crowd of Orange.
Dutchins are definitely missed.
Yeah. Mm. It's not the same. Like, there should be some crowds that are just left.
Yeah, with 24 teams there and all Dutch. Mad.
Mm. Well, there's a few others, isn't there, that are missing really when you think about it. Like Greece missed out.
Yeah, but I can talk about in terms of bringing something to the
You mean actually good crack?
Yeah. Yeah, and like adds colour, like what Andy's saying about the Swedish, their jerseys are yellow and it just stands out when you turn them.
Why don't we just get a petition to get a better colour for Ireland?
Or wear an orange jersey?
Fuck green. That should be our new motto.
Remember we had an orange away jersey?
Yeah. Ireland. Fuck green. That should be the new motto for the.
So actually, just to finish on that, best jersey so far?
I think the Turkish one does look very good. Mm.
I like the Adidas jerseys. I think the Nardi jersey is nice.
I like the French one.
The German jersey is quality. It's so retro.
Yeah, I never loved the German jerseys actually, but
like they've done what's perfect with the jersey. They just haven't tried to fucking embellish.
Kept it simple.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not even put the three stripes on it. Just like this is the German jersey.
Yeah, we are German.
Yeah,
we are
jersey.
German.
Boom.
We are German.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, some good. Adidas jerseys just.
Spanish team, I know we didn't touch on them, but I don't even know half the fuckers playing.
Yeah, it's weird, a lot of players didn't make the squad. Maybe it's just because they're so.
I think it's just a transition, they're just saying, this is it, this is the next generation of Spanish
players. Well, I think it was another one of those ones that I think he went the opposite way. He picked players based on who he felt were in form rather than just picking names.
Mm.
You know, so the likes of Nolito getting in ahead of Diego Costa, I know they're different type players.
Yeah.
I suppose he played him out wide, didn't he?
Yeah, and the fact that Iago Costa is Brazilian, but hell never.
Yeah, well, there is that. Yeah, yeah. Then again, if that was the case, Ireland had never had a fucking team at any tournament. So
yeah. That BBC thing of the difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland is fucking brilliant.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, go on. I think it's on Facebook. It's fucking brilliant.
Are they talking about the fact that Northern Irish players are actually Northern Irish?
No. It says Northern Irish players can pick players from the Republic. Whereas the Republic of Ireland players can pick players from the north, right? It says, however, the most commonly spoken language in the squads is Cockney. There's a whole load of stuff. Yeah, both teams are managed by Mr. M. O'Neill. it's fucking brilliant. Go on and have a look at it. Because
I'd have to, because it doesn't sound the way you described it.
Yeah, sorry. Not good at describing things. Okay, so next round of matches, Steve, you were off to see it, so looking forward
I'm here for the next round.
You're right,
here for I'm away for it, but I'm not at the Euros, if that makes sense.
So you're on for the last group game, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going over for the Italy game. So Belgium game, I think we can get a draw of it. I hope we can get a draw of it. But listen,
Italy have gone through.
Yeah, see, if we get a draw on Saturday and then Italy beat Sweden, they have topped the group. Not even just gone through, they've topped the group.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'd have to hope that they are able to put a few others in there, and maybe just Italy might do that thing where they just say, yeah, nil all's grand with us. You okay with nil all? Yeah, we're okay with nil all. Let's neither bother our whole team.
Yeah,
well,
they're certainly
1990.
Yeah. They probably throw out a few players, which could have a negative effect as well.
Us, yeah. Players trying to break their balls to get into the side. Listen, at these tournaments, you just have to put up with what comes in front of you. And
three draws work through, you know.
Andy, anything for the next round of games that stands out in your mind? Somebody's going to get hockeyed.
I haven't actually looked at the next run of fixtures. So England-Wales is going to be an enjoyable game. But I'm sure there are a couple of others they go, oh, that's actually a fucking cracker of a match.
No, I haven't. And you know, I haven't even done it once. I get onto that app
to see what's on that day.
And I have a look. That day.
Live score.
Okay. I haven't been, apart from the Ireland game, I haven't been able to say, oh yeah, that game Wednesday, looking forward to that. Just being taken every game.
I'm the same. I don't even know when the next, I'm assuming the next England game is
England Wales.
Thursday or Wednesday.
If Wales, Wales wins that, they're true, aren't they?
It's Thursday. What?
Wales wins that one, are true.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a big fucking...
It's a big thing for them.
It is.
They don't see them when... Unless Bale ups... Bale wasn't great.
No.
Either, you know.
No. Right, so lads.
Yeah.
We leave it at that. That's the end of the first Euro trippers. The next one you'll be off in France. You can dial in then, Steve.
Are we not talking about Liverpool at all?
Huh?
Are we not talking about Liverpool at all? Listen, did we already talk about Liverpool?
We did at the start.
What did we say?
We had 10-15 minutes talking about it.
If the fucking transfer team who look after the transfers have all fucked off on holidays while the Euros are on.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, why the fuck were any of the Liverpool
fans? When is the window actually open?
The window's always open.
The windows open on the 1st of June, and then I think international transfers are the 1st of July.
Domestic players.
1st of June for domestic and 1st of July for international transfers, I believe.
Register them. Like you can sign a player any time at all during the year. You can agree a deal any time. They can't be registered until those dates.
Okay.
So,
but like generally when a tournament's on, if a player's involved in a tournament, they rarely ever sign mid-tournament.
You know what I think is hilarious?
So it was Klopp. Look, what about is the Higuain thing over now? Yes, that wasn't his brother at all.
No, it was his son.
Not
Higuain's son.
That's dead.
Yeah.
But come here.
He must have been doing something over there.
He was. He was looking at the 29-year-old centre back now.
At the World Cup, everybody gave out, and I was one of them, the fact that Rodgers wasn't at the tournament and we had no scouts or anything over there.
Yeah.
Now we're giving out about the fact that we're not doing any business. But how do we know that people from the scouting department and Klopp or whoever else aren't...
Well, Klopp's at the Copa America checking out the players.
But this is my point. So there's two world tournaments on at the moment. How do we know our teams aren't out watching these games and having a final look at players and sussing them out and maybe going to training camps? Because this is the time that they get a chance to do that. They can go to the international training camps and watch them train and watch them in action.
Dream Barbados.
Deal
off Thomas Cook.
I think the whole Twitter rumour, silly seasons in full swing, but there doesn't seem to be as many names coming out.
I don't.
You know, a name is coming out and we're being linked with it and then it's gone the following day.
But who cares? Is this what I'm trying to explain? Like, we're all fucking 12-year-olds if we get excited by fucking stuff in the papers. My God, transfer story, we're going to sign him. Oh, that's brilliant.
I didn't like him anymore. Actually have a meltdown over not signing a player that the club were probably never
intent on fucking looking at.
I think anyone who's on Twitter who actually gets themselves into such a state has themselves to blame for believing in the first place.
The Mane transfer,
£30 million.
The narrative, but the brilliance of this is the narrative has already started. Committee sign, Klopp doesn't want him.
Yeah, they notice. People notice, Phil.
This is known.
Klopp doesn't want them
on inner circles.
Again, Klopp's not part of this transfer committee.
No.
They're doing it while he's off watching the Copa America.
He went on his holidays and after going and signing Mane.
He's going to come back and go, who are you?
Well, I don't think...
Where's Ibe gone?
Yeah, I don't think there's a hope in hell. Klopp has a very, very specific type of player he wants to play. And I don't think anyone's going to sign that Klopp doesn't... It's just pointless.
It's
words.
Not going to happen.
But people need to get a hold of one thing. Seriously. Nothing has changed. Liverpool will still only pay a player south of 150,000 a week. Players that play for that start for City and that start for Chelsea and start for United,
200,000,
they get 150 grand minimum. Yeah. They start, they get 150 grand a week minimum. So straight away, it's not Klopp attracting players. It's just the fact that Liverpool don't the generate checkbook. The revenue. Yeah. Look at that accounts thing that they published in. They don't produce, they're not taking in the money to be able to pay these players. Yeah. So that hasn't changed. So people need to forget about signing the likes of Gotze, because if he's signing for anyone, if he's moving out of there, he's getting 200 grand a week. No problem. Yeah. Liverpool won't pay that. So forget about it. So we are still in that same market of players like Mane.
Yeah.
But Klopp hopefully picks the right ones that suits his system rather than Rodgers.
Yeah, it'll be down to
and that's the fate. That's the fate. And there's gotta be
nothing wrong with that. There's Leicester just won the league. One of their players are on over 100 grand a year or 100 grand a week. I mean, not one player in that squad is.
No, but that was a freak.
It was a freak. But my point is, it's not about just paying someone 200 grand a week doesn't mean they're going to be good. United went and paid fucking 60 odd million for Di Maria plus gave him fucking quarter of a million quid a year.
And my point is,
people on Twitter,
when you get upset
meltdowns.
Because we're being linked with Mane, for the time being, stand is there 5 years and the club have had to pay back the loan from their own hedge funds. We're not really in the market. We're not generating them sort of. So you have to cope with it.
And you have to be in the Champions League.
And plus, the money that's in the league now, that transfer fees, everybody's going to be strung up. Yeah. Any transfers that happen within the league is going to be just mad. It's just going to be mad money exchange in hands.
Yeah.
There's going to be no Mane is a 30 million. Everybody's 30
but
million.
But Andy, even looking at the business now, that because the English clubs are starting to buy players from Germany, and you're starting to look at, everyone's thinking, oh yeah, sure, 10 million quid will get you the top players there now, right? Like, they're talking that Sané is going to City for 40 million.
Yeah, funny enough, the German clubs have copped on that all the English clubs have loads of money as well.
Yeah, it's like take them long.
Yeah.
Like, if any league was going to cop on quickly, it was like, one player's going for 50 million. Okay, then.
Yeah.
So the only way you're really going to be satisfied with a transfer is if Klopp picks out a player that we don't really know, he's not really domestically known player, and he gets a good deal because of the fact that there's no demand for the player.
I said at the start of the summer, when the season was ending, I said, I don't care who we sign. I genuinely, and you know what? I've switched off from transfers. I haven't paid really much attention to it at all. I haven't got involved in the Higuain or whoever else stories, Mane, anybody. I've just switched off from them all and I've thought, I don't give a fuck. If that's who Klopp wants, just got to trust him. Whether we spend 40 million on someone or 4 million on someone, there's nothing to say that Grujic won't come in and nail down a starting spot next season.
This is the thing.
And be the best midfielder we have.
What I like about that Grujic signing is a bit of imagination in it.
Yeah.
Like, none of us heard of him. Now, a few people go out there and pretend they knew him.
Yeah.
But Klopp has had him, he's been on his radar and he's went out and he's got him. I'm happy with that. That's what you want. A bit of imagination in the transfers. Matip, I don't know what he's going to be like, but Klopp wants him, so fair enough.
Well, forget the names. Forget the names. Here's what we've done so far. We've got a goalkeeper, a centre-back, and a centre midfielder.
The Carrier signing is a great signing.
And it looks like we're signing another centre midfielder. So that means we signed two centre midfielders, a centre-back, and a goalkeeper. Now, if somebody says to you, your manager's going to sign those players, saying, but you know what? He's trying to put a spine of a team together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's straight away.
He's recognised the problems. Skirtle's out in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's signed a goalkeeper that's probably going to replace me as number one. He's got a good player in Emery Chan, but he needs someone
to play alongside
that's going to go in there, because he's not too sure about Henderson. He knows Lucas is gone. He knows Alan's probably going to go. So he's buying players that he feels are going to fit his system. So we have to leave him to it. You can't get your knickers in a twist if he doesn't sign, name a fucking popular player like that everybody wants. You just cannot get upset over that.
But like, here's the thing: he is 2 years ago. He signs Alba off Saint-Étienne, was it? He came from Saint-Étienne, right. He signs him from Saint-Étienne. At that time, if we'd signed Alba for 12, 14 million or whatever, people would have gone, "Who the fuck is this fella?" Right? he hadn't got a great first season. I know you weren't. A few of us were talking about him. I hadn't seen a huge amount of him. I'm talking about fucking Fekir off Lyon now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm saying, but they're just little players that you keep, that one player you keep an eye on, you hope they
sticks
do well.
Their head.
Yeah, and you had that with Alba. But what I'm saying is, most people would have said, who the fuck is this fella? Because there's constantly an array of African forwards playing in France, linked with English teams. Mm-hmm. And one of them turns out to be a £70 million player in the way he did this season for Dortmund. But you know what? He wasn't a fucking £70 million player this time last season. People weren't talking about him over Lacazette. Everybody wanted Lacazette last summer. Yeah. They didn't want Alba. You know what I mean? So,
and then he's being linked with West Ham.
And Lacazette, yeah. But that's because West Ham have money to piss around. They're still talking about 30-odd million for him. But what I'm saying is, next season, it'll be someone else. Alba will go somewhere. Maybe go to City and score 15
if
goals.
I look back,
and it'll be someone
if
else.
If I look back
and
on all these rumours, all these nearly got players in the last sort of 4 or 5 some years. Team. Now, look at a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like the likes of Mickey Hitteran, like he's probably one of the only
Mickey Terry.
Yeah. Mickey the Hitman fucking Yardspin.
Mickey the Hitman Hard.
Yardspin. Like, we were close to signing him.
Yeah.
He's one that you could say, yeah, we missed out on.
Yeah.
But like, after that,
there was a few. Well, William and William was who we were close enough to him. We missed out on him. He's a great player. I would love him in the side.
Yeah. If you look at Salah, who was at Chelsea, and Salah, who's been at Roma, fucking, you'd be saying to yourself, absolute different. What a fucking player.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know,
he may have thrived with us because he would have played a lot more games than he did at Chelsea. Right, gents, we'll leave it there. We'll take it on with the Eurotrippers next week, and I'm sure we'll talk about transfers as well. So.
Admin. Europop.
Woohoo! So again, big shout out to MonsterGadgets.com. Seriously, get on over to the website there. They got lots of good deals going on with the Android boxes and great support and all that type of stuff. And any questions, sure, hit them up there and they always get back and try to help you out as best they possibly can. And of course, use the discount code. And we have a giveaway coming up. There's a games tablet to be given away. We just need to come up with what the competition is. So we'll do that over the next couple of days and we'll get Neil to tweet it out for you. Big shout out there, going out the day out there. You might come back on the pod someday and all, anyways. Big thanks to lads of the Astro for letting us do the show as ever. Top fellas. I'll tell you to get down to Dell, but he's in Paris getting fucking langered and enjoying the crack. So that's the end of it. Big thanks to Steve and Andy for coming in tonight. Back next week on Tuesday night, and it'll be out on Wednesday morning. We're back on the feed on iTunes and the whole lot. We're back being independent. We can say whatever we want, whenever the fuck we like. Although we could always say whatever we want, whenever the fuck we like. So keep on listening.
No, fella. Come on, we get this started. I have to get out of here. I have to be home and all before 9 o'clock.
Boy, have you got a hot day?
My hairdresser's coming.
Oh!
Dickhead. That's why we're here early.
Yeah.
Because you're getting your hair done.
Yeah. I'm going to a wedding next week. I have to get my hair cut.
I'm going to a wedding next week, like.
Yeah, but I won't be here.
I won't be in
Ireland. I'm going to fucking Madrid this weekend, home on Sunday night, in work on Monday, and then gone into the early hours of Tuesday to go to France, then Amsterdam, then the wedding in Birmingham. So, or was in Telford. So.
France.
So
you're going to be a fucking corpse after France.
I'm going to be a fucking corpse after Amsterdam. Going to a wedding the day after I go to Amsterdam. What a bad move that is. I'm going to put loads of shit in my body. I don't even know what it's going to be. I'm going to be in a fucking black knot the next day going to a fucking wedding. All my family there was going, I don't know. My face just keeps down.
What day is it? What?